Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Today we're looking at transformation by revelation. Now the Apostle Paul had to pray for the church at Ephesus, and his prayer for them was centered around the spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation. To what end? That the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. I like, you know, the way it is put here in the NIV. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, see, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. Now, that means there is a hope to which you have been called. All right. God didn't call you just for the fun of it. There's a specific hope to which God has called you. All right. And you cannot come to terms with that hope. You cannot know that hope or realize that hope without the revelation of it to you. It has to be revealed to you. Praise God. All right. And so you see, revelation will bring you to terms with the hope to which God has called you. And then it says the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So that means revelation will bring you to the riches of God's glorious inheritance that he has made ready for his holy people. Again, he says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, the power of God, which is the resurrection power here in context, is the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it tells us very clearly that this power can only come to us by revelation. In other words, we can only know this power by revelation, by the operation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This was the power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and dominion and might and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So revelation is our access to knowing the hope to which we have been called. Amen. To knowing the riches of God's glorious inheritance that God has laid up for us, his holy people in Christ. To know the power of God, that incomparably great power of God, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. All right? So you see that revelation is very, very important. Glory to God. Without revelation, the things of God cannot be known. Now, just as much as it takes perception, all right, physical perception to appreciate physical realities, it takes spiritual perception to be able to appreciate spiritual realities. Revelation. The things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. Now, things pertaining to the hope to which you have been called, things pertaining to the destiny that God has cut out for you, things pertaining to the purpose and the plan of God for you, they are things that can only be known by revelation. You cannot think yourself into those things. You cannot walk yourself into them. You cannot stumble on them by chance. No, they can only be revealed unto you. Praise God. All right, so that's why revelation is very, very important. Now, let me introduce this message very briefly by saying a couple of things here. In life, there comes a day when life takes a new turn and everything shifts forward. Such a day is always special and unforgettable. You have heard that there are days and there are certain days. All right? You may forget days, but nobody ever forgets certain days. Certain days are the days that special things happened in your life. All right? The days that special things happened in your life. Those days are days that there is always a milestone, a defining moment in your life. And everything takes a new turn. Everything shifts forward. Glory to God. And the milestones and turning points of life always happen at the point of revelation. At the point of revelation. Or at the point of encounter with God. You see, life can go on without any remarkable difference until revelation comes in. When revelation breaks into your days, then your days will begin to count. Praise God. Days can be counted, but the days that count are the days that are lived in light of God's revelation, God's purpose for your life. So your destiny begins when revelation comes to you. The purpose, the reason to which you have been called will only come to your awareness by revelation. The revelation of the will of God for you. So it is very, very important that we interact with God on the platform of revelation, because that's the only place where we can see what God has prepared for us. Now, God is not trying to make something happen for you, or He's not trying to design a destiny for you. God is not trying, you know, to prepare a future for you. No. All right? He's done all that. The Bible tells us very clearly in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15 and verse 18. It says, known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world. Known unto God are all His works. Glory to God. So God had predetermined, preordained everything before the foundation of the world. In fact, the word works there, there was a time I did a little study on that, and I realized that the word works there is not a work you plan to execute or you plan to do. The word works there is a work you have done, all right, a work you have accomplished or finished, and you plan to exhibit. It's just like an artwork. You are done, you know, drawing, or you are done cutting, you're done, you know, maybe as a sculptor, you're done, you know, designing, cutting out, you know, that particular artwork, and it's an art piece already. It's a piece already. So you want to reveal it. You want to exhibit it. That's the work that is used there. So known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. God had concluded everything before He started out. All right? So God is not trying to plan to do something, all right, with your life. He's already prepared everything, done everything, and He's in the business of revealing those things to us. Glory to God. So known unto Him. That word known there is, you know, the word likened to a personal knowledge or an awareness of something that you are used to. All right, like you know your friend, you know your parents, you know your boss at work. All right, somebody you've seen over and over and over and over again, and you're already used to that person. That's the word known there. So that means God knows very intimately and very personally the things that He's made. All right, He's created them before the foundation of the world. He's finished them, and now He's revealing them. Glory to God. That's what God is doing. So you see the place of revelation. Revelation doesn't show you what God, all right, is doing or what God will yet do. Revelation actually brings to your awareness what God has done, what God has concluded. For example, you remember the account of the man who had been bedridden 38 years at the pool called Bethesda in John chapter 5. All right, had been waiting at the pool, expecting, you know, the angel to come down to stir the waters so that, you know, he could be put in the water and be healed. All right? And he waited and waited and he waited and waited, but all to no avail. But Jesus, by the mercy of God, walked up to him and said, would thou be made whole? And he complained and he said, well, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Go home. Now, the key to that miracle all right, was revealed much later when the Pharisees began to complain that Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, "What I see my Father do, I do." Praise God. All right, the Father had concluded that, and then he revealed it to his Son. Praise God. And when he revealed it to him, his Son acted it out. Now, that's the Sabbath of God for your life. You see, every man enters into God's Sabbath when he discovers what God has concluded. All right, that's how we enter into rest in the things of God. You know, struggle begins and continues when you try to do what you feel should be done without discovering what God has already concluded. You see, nobody amongst us, you know, humankind or people, would want to build a house without first and foremost having a plan. We don't do that, naturally speaking. There's a plan. In fact, there's a 3D, you know, a view of the house. You can appreciate the house already on the computer. Praise God. You can see it on the screen. And then it is now built according to the plan. All the working drawings must have been ready before the house is built. Praise God. Now, we have enough sense to do that. Don't you think God, the only wise God, has much more, you know, sense to have planned your life, designed everything, finished everything before sending you into the world? Praise God. God has concluded your destiny before sending you into the world. So life for us is not an adventure of trying to achieve an impossible task or trying to achieve an impossible feat. No. Life for us is a discovery of God's purpose and God's plan. Hallelujah. Life for us is the unfolding of the scroll of God for you. All right, there is a book that is written concerning you, and that book contains the very minutest details of your life. Glory to God. God has done some very, very sensitive and meticulous detailing of your life, and it's in the book. Glory to God. It's in the book. Amen. Now, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 10, and verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." The way of man is not in himself. What does that mean? It is not within the knowledge, within the scope of man's knowledge to know the steps to take in life, the way to go in life. All right, it is beyond man. It can only be given to man to know. Praise God. You can't cook it up in your head. All right, you cannot come up with it. You can't make it up. Glory to God. All right, you can't guess and just guess your way into destiny or guess your way into fulfillment of destiny. It's not possible. You can only discover God's plan for your life. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. The Bible tells us very clearly that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not by himself. Yes, he's a good man. He's been made righteous. All right. But he cannot order his own steps all by himself. His steps are ordered by the Lord. Glory to God. Now, if you look at the life of Jesus, amazingly, you know, I was studying the book of Matthew some years back, and I discovered that nine unique, remarkable times in the book of Matthew, it is reported that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. You know, everything Jesus did was so orderly, so programmed, all right, so predetermined, that he was taking steps consciously, meticulously, intentionally towards fulfilling that which had been written concerning him. That's what life is. A weak life is a life that is, you're trying to pull something all by yourself. A strong life is a life of discovery, discovering what God has already concluded concerning you. Praise God. And you just want to walk in that step. Praise God. That's what life is all about. 9 solid times that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, that it might be fulfilled. So you see, when he was born, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. When, you know, there was persecution against him, Herod wanted to kill him, all right? And the angel of the Lord appeared and said, okay, take the child to Egypt, that it might be fulfilled, all right? That his son is drawn out of Egypt. I mean, everything was well planned out. You know, Jesus Christ is a type, the perfect type of how life should look like and how life should be. Amen. He's our perfect example. His life was a replay of what had been written concerning him. It was, you know, his life was a play, a manifestation of the script that God had written concerning him. Praise God. So you see, that's what life is, and that's what life ought to be. Your life is much more than an adventure, all right? It is a discovery of God's purpose for you. Life is the unveiling of the scroll of God written concerning you before the foundation of the world. That's what life is. Amen? And the connection between where you're at the moment and what has been written concerning you is revelation. Revelation. All right? Revelation. The revelation of God coming to you. That's how it all begins. Glory to God. The revelation of God. Now, if you look at the life of Jeremiah, all right, in Jeremiah chapter 1, we start the reading from verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll go to verse 4 for time. Let's jump to verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Now, see, this man didn't even know what God had, you know, prepared for him and what his life was about. He didn't know. Then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, all right, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, he could not have stumbled on that by trial and error. No. All right, it came to him by revelation. God told him, said, look, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you, pre-sanctification, pre-ordination. Glory to God. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Not unto Israel, unto the nations. Praise God. Amen. He was more than a prophet to Israel. He was a prophet to the nations. All right? He was meant to prophesy on the global scene. There are prophets who are sent to persons. All right? There are prophets who are sent to people. There are prophets who are sent to just a nation. And there are prophets who are sent to nations. Praise God. Jeremiah's destiny was to be a prophet sent unto the nations of the world. Nations. So you see, if you read the book of Jeremiah, it contains much more than, you know, prophecies concerning Israel. It contains prophecies concerning the Gentile land, you know, Egypt, you know, Syria, name it, Canaan, and on like that. Why? Because of his destiny. Praise God. All right? And so his destiny began. Now, look at verse 6. All right? Next verse. It says, then said I, ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Praise God. You know, very much like a lot of people, all right, the first thing you want to do is to make excuses for not being able to fulfill your destiny. All right? Whereas your destiny was not designed and prepared because you were able. All right? It was God's choice. It is the will of God, and the ability to fulfill your destiny is not in your ability to fulfill it. It is in God's ability that is back of his will to fulfill it. The moment you surrender to the will of God concerning you, the revelation of God concerning your purpose in life, your destiny in life, the ability to fulfill it comes to you. All right? You see, God hasn't given you a special ability all in yourself and by yourself to fulfill your destiny. All right? Or else you wouldn't need God. You wouldn't live by faith. You wouldn't, depend on God. God designed your destiny in such a way that you would need Him. Every one step of the way, you will need Him. All right? Because no flesh will glory in His presence. So the ability to fulfill your destiny is in God, in you. All right? He is our ability. He is our sufficiency. We are not sufficient to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. So maybe you have thought to yourself, I'm not sure I can do this. God is showing me this. God is showing me this. But I'm not sure I can do it. All right? Yeah, you're right. You can do it. You're very right. In yourself, you can't. All right? God is not saying, try to fulfill my will for your life. Attempt it. All right? Oh, you're doing well. You're doing well. Oh, yeah. Put in more effort. Put in more strength. No. God is not interested in all that. All right? God is saying, you surrender to me. I'm your ability. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Christ is our strength. He is our ability. So, you are right that you have felt inadequate, to fulfill what you believe God has revealed to you to do for Him or do in His name. You're very right. Okay? So don't condemn yourself. All you need to do right now is to submit yourself, surrender yourself to God, and let Him help you. He is your ability. Say amen to that. God is your ability. Your destiny is not possible in your own strength. If it's possible in your own strength, it's not God's destiny for you. It's something that you cooked up and marked out for yourself. Every destiny God gives, all right, is a destiny that can only be possible by God's help. All right? He is our sufficiency. So Jeremiah said, Ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. God says, well, say not that you cannot speak. Go on, verse 7. All right? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. All right? For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I shall command thee, thou shalt speak. Praise God. Amen. That's it. You just say the way I tell you to say it, and that's all. Amen. I mean, the ministry of a prophet is the easiest. Amen. A prophet speaks when God opens his or mouth to speak. A prophet speaks when God gives a commandment. And a prophet says what God has said. All right? If God is not saying anything, the prophet doesn't have anything to say. Very simple ministry. Praise God. Say what God has said. All right? Tell what God says to tell. If He shows you a vision. All right? Your destiny is very simple. All right? Don't try to manufacture something for yourself. All right? Go where He sends you. Do what He tells you to do. And the ability to do it comes from Him. He's our sufficiency. God is almighty, not some mighty. All right? In you, it cannot be some mighty because you think you have some might. No. In us or without us, He's always almighty. So in partnership with God, God is still almighty. So what does that tell you? If you have any might at all or exercise yourself, in anything called strength, at all, it has to be by His own strength. For by natural strength shall no man prevail. Praise God. A man will prevail by the strength of God. Amen? So how did Jeremiah's destiny, all right, happen? How did he know what God wanted him to do, what his life was about? How did he know that? The word of the Lord came unto him, saying. It has to come. It's revelation that starts a real life. All right? If revelation hasn't come yet, all right, your days are just, running. But the moment the revelation of God's purpose comes to you, your days start counting. Amen? Abraham, we didn't know anything so much about, his days before he had an encounter with God. All right? He had clocked 75 before he had an encounter with God. So what did he do in those 75 years? All right, it's not recorded in the Bible. All right, all those years, as far as God is concerned, didn't count. All right, they were counted, but they didn't count. His life began to count from Genesis chapter 12. All right? The Lord had said something to him before Genesis 12, but when he responded to that light, responded to that instruction, responded to that revelation, his life began to count. All right? Because what is written in the book is not just, you know, activities and incidents or happenings around the world in the eastern part of the world in Bible days. No. All right? What is written in the book were things that aligned, activities, people, that aligned with the will and the purpose of God for mankind. Amen. And for their individual lives. Praise God. And that's what is documented in the book. Glory to God. So it is very important as a child of God to seek revelation, because that is the beginning of life. That is the beginning of life. You remember, you know, even the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We heard that he was born, all right? And then at 12, he was in the temple, reasoning with the doctors and professors of law, all right? Now, between 12 and 30, there was nothing that was recorded about him. Amen? Nothing was recorded of him until 30, all right? At age 30, when he was 30 years old, he came to Jordan. He was baptized in water by John the Baptist. The heavens opened. The Spirit of the Lord God came upon him, you know, like a dove. And then his ministry began. Listen very carefully. You know, it is very, very important that you seek revelation, because your life truly starts. Your life truly begins at the point of revelation and your positive response to it. Praise God. That's when your life begins. All right. I want us to look at Father Abraham, for example. In Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God called him. All right. Come out of your country, your people, to a place that I will show you. All right. And God made him wonderful promises. In Genesis 13, from verse 14 to 17, all right, God promised to give him the land of Canaan. See? In Genesis 14, we start reading from verse 18 to 20, Melchizedek met with him and blessed him, and Abraham knew God as the Most High God. See, I'm talking about the milestones in the life of Father Abraham. Milestones. All right? The turning points in his life. They were points of encounters. Points of revelation, when the light of God's word came to him, the word of the Lord came to him. All right? Okay? In Genesis 15, you read from verse 1 to 16, God promised to give him a son and make his seed as the stars of heaven. So God reassured him of his promise to give him the land of Canaan by covenant. See? Defining moments in the life of Abraham. Genesis 17, if you read from verse 1 to verse 27, Genesis 17, 1 to 27, God revealed himself to Abraham as Almighty God and changed his name from Abram to Abraham, a father of many nations, and the name of his wife Sarai to Sarah. God also assured him of his promise to give him a son through Sarah, his wife. Praise God. See, specific moments, defining moments, milestones. And then in Genesis chapter 18, you start reading from verse 1 to verse 33, the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre. Abraham entertained heavenly guests in his own house. Amen. The Lord ate with him at the house of Abraham, and a specific time was given for the birth of the promised child, Isaac. Praise God. Look at that. And then the Bible tells us very, very clearly, again in Genesis chapter 22. All right. God spoke to Abraham and tested him. All right. He tested his covenant commitment or loyalty to God when he told him to go and to the land of Moriah, sacrifice his son Isaac on one of the mountains that he will show him. Praise God. And Abraham obeyed the word of the Lord, and God made an oath to him to fulfill his promises made to him. Glory to God. All right. So you see, that was a defining time. And now look at the summary of Abraham's life. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham had become old here in Genesis 24 and verse 1 and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Amen. Genesis 24 and verse 1. Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in how many things? In all things. So defining moments. Now, what are the defining moments of your life? There are moments of revelation. All right? That is when you go up. That is when you can make a turn from something that is, you know, known as a norm. You can make a turn from it and then enter into that which is extraordinary, that which is God's will for you. Until revelation comes, all right, the norm, the status quo will continue. All right, revelation helps you to make that vital turn. You make that turn and you turn into, you know, that which God has prepared for you. Revelation is our compass in life. That is our bearing. That's what determines our bearing in life. All right? We are lost without revelation. Revelation is what situates us in God's purpose and in God's plan for our lives. Amen? All right? That is what determines your bearing in life. Destiny bearing in life. Glory to God. Revelation. Now, another example is here before us, Samuel the prophet. How did, you know, his life begin? His life began by revelation. All right? His ministry began by revelation. His purpose, God's purpose for him, began, you know, to see the light of day by revelation. The Bible tells us very clearly, all right, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you start the reading from verse 18 to 19, all right, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and from verse 18 to 19, all right, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So Samuel was dedicated to God. And then chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, all right, if you start reading from verse 1 to 10, the Lord came to Samuel, stood beside him, and called his name. The Lord revealed himself to him by his word, by the word of the Lord. Amen. That was the first time Samuel heard the voice of God. When the word of God came to him, then his life began to count. Amen. Now, you are not permitted to count days. All right? You are not permitted to just keep marking your birthday. All right? God wants your life to truly begin. He wants your life to truly count. Don't just count days. All right? Make them count. How? Discover what God has called you to do. Discover what your life is all about. There's something about your life. There's a hub of your life. All right? The core of your life. There's something about your life. Your life is about something. Something. Jesus, the Lord, said, I am come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. See? So there was something about his life, and he came to fulfill it. There's something about your life, and that's why you have come. Praise God. All right? And you must fulfill it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have discovered that there are many things we do in life, all right, but very few of those things actually count. For example, what Jesus, the Lord, did from age 1 to age 30, all right, did a lot of things that were not recorded in the book. But at age 30, all right, when he struck that chord, in rhythm with the theme of his destiny in the heart of God, his life began to count. Praise God. So there's always a time that God prepares you and it looks like, okay, nothing is happening. But listen very carefully. Seek God's plan and understand what God is doing in your life. This is our month of revelation and faith. All right? God wants you to come to terms with his plan for your life. All right? You know, and this is very, very important. Glory to God. Now, let me let you in very quickly on the dynamics of how to walk in revelation. The dynamics, excuse me, the dynamics of walking in the revelation of God's will for your life. Amen? Now, what I'm saying in essence, how do you strike a chord, all right, in sync with God's plan for your life? How do you dance, all right, in rhythm with God's frequency for your life, God's purpose for your life, all right? And that's what we want to look at today. And we have primarily two examples here, all right? I could take you through many, but let's just look at just two examples, all right? Hannah, all right, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Hannah, you know Hannah in the Bible, not the prophetess, all right? Hannah that was barren for some years, and she came to Shiloh to pray. And she prayed to God and opened her heart to God and cried to God, all right? And God heard her cry. Because she asked God something that was in the heart of God to do. You know, sometimes, you know, people think that they can force God to do certain things. No, God cannot be forced into doing the things that you want him to do for you. All right? Many are the devices of the heart of a man, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. If it's not consistent with God's will, he's not going to do it. All right? If a man gets it, all right, somewhere else, you know, it didn't come from God. And that's why it is good to renew your mind to the will of God so you can know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can someone say amen to that? All right, now, let's go through this account very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I like to read from verse 9, all right? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. That was a deep kind of prayer. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Now count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and God and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Glory to God. All right, now God granted a request. You know, Samuel simply means I asked him of the Lord. That's what it means. The name Samuel means I asked him of the Lord. K Okay? So that means God answered a prayer. Amen? God answered a prayer. Now, I want us to look at the relationship between Hannah's request of a child, a male child from God, and the fulfillment of her destiny in light of God's big plan for Israel. Praise God. Now, she had a need, evidently. She was barren. All right? And there's nothing wrong, you know, with anybody who has a need. All right? It is not wrong to have a need. Amen? But understand, every need is a pointer to something. Every need, anything that shows up in your life that looks like a need, all right, is a pointer to something. What is it pointing to? It's pointing to God's purpose for your life. All right? Challenges around you, it's not wrong to be challenged or have challenges, all right? But listen very carefully. Every challenge, every need you have is a pointer to the purpose of God for your life. Now, this woman was barren, all right, and she wanted a child. And she had been praying, I believe, so strongly. This was not the first time. She had a longing in her heart for a child. But this particular year at Shiloh, she did something differently. What did she do differently? All right, she did something differently. She prayed and asked God for a male child that she would give to God. It was a vow. Now, God needed a prophet in Israel. It was time for a prophet to be born. Now, this woman had a need. She was barren. All right? And she needed a child. God had a need for a prophet. She had a need of a child. See? So, a need came in sync with God's need. Why? Because she was willing to give that male child to God. Now, if she had asked for a child, just a male child, all right, maybe God, you know, would have postponed the answer or answered her later, all right? But because she struck a chord in the heart of God, amen, God answered her right there and then. Now, let me say this. One of the ways to enter into destiny is to learn to pray about your needs in light of God's will, God's purpose. Not just to have your needs met, just for you to prove a point, or just for you to be satisfied or refreshed. No. But to have your needs met for the purpose of God to be fulfilled. Praise God. Now, there are certain prayers you pray, and as you pray those prayers, it will be very difficult for you to step into destiny. Prayers that border on, you know, you, me. You're not conscious of the fact that your life is not about you. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So the life of a man is not about him. Your destiny is about other people. Praise God. Now, when you begin to pray, all right, there's a need. You're asking God for, you know, financial supplies, or you're asking God for a child, or you're asking God, you know, to get married. There's a need. All right. Now, this is how to step into destiny, harnessing, all right, the privilege of having a need. This is how to do it. Start praying prayers consistent with God's will. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Now, I need a job. Give me a job. All right? I will tithe and I will partner with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will give seeds to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will sow to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will help the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you begin to pray that way, listen very carefully, you are actually taking advantage of that need. And then you will be propelled through that need, the supply of God to meet that need, into the fulfillment of your destiny. Praise God. Now, let the love of God motivate you. Is there any need in your life? All right, there's nothing wrong having needs. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in having needs. Praise God. Now listen to this. What are you going to do about that need? What prayer are you going to pray about that need? Are you sick in your body? All right? And you're praying, Lord, by the stripes of Jesus Christ I have been made whole. All right? And Father, let your power move through my body and touch my body. All right? And Lord, use me as a living testimony to encourage someone else. All right? Father, flow through me and be a blessing to someone else. Let this healing of my body, all right, be a blessing to someone else. You see, when you begin to pray that way, you're now praying beyond yourself. All right? And that kind of prayer will propel you into the fulfillment of your destiny. You need a child to prove a point to people that you too can conceive. All right? That you're not barren. That is still very, very small. It's still shallow. All right? That's a small mind. Now, why not ask God for prophets? God, I believe that you have need of men to advance the cause of the gospel in this end time. Give me prophets. Give me evangelists. Give me governors. Give me, Lord, people, world changers. All right? As you pray that prayer, you're striking a chord in the heart of God. Your destiny will begin to happen. Praise God. Now listen very carefully. God gave Anna five children more in addition to Samuel, making six altogether. Three boys, all right, and two girls. Glory to God. Why? Because she had given God. You see, let me tell you something. The principle of putting God first is the principle of discovering destiny. If you want to discover your destiny, you must put God, not your need, put him first. Now, this woman wanted to have a child, and he says, look, I'm making a vow alongside. I'm going to give this male child to you. Let him be a male child. All right? I will give this male child to you the rest of his life. He will serve you. See, the principle of first fruit is the principle of, stepping into destiny. You step into something bigger than you. Putting God first. In your finances, in marriage, put him first. In your prayer, all right? Look at the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. We start the reading from verse 9. It says, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It didn't say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. No, that's not what you start with. You hallow him. You honor him. You worship him. Hallowed be thy name. It says now, give us this day our daily bread. No. You worship him and then his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he now says, give us this day our daily bread. You see, your need is secondary to God's purpose for your life. Your need should point you to God's purpose, not make you selfish and about yourself. No. No. You really want to discover destiny, all right? When needs show up, don't cry. All right? Refuse to be hopeless. Is a pointer to something bigger than you, bigger than that need. Amen. A supply that will meet more than that need. Glory to God. Abraham needed a son. All right? And God gave him the whole world. He says, your seed shall be as the stars of heaven. Can you imagine that? All right? I have made you a father of many nations. He wanted to father just a son, a child, and God says, no, much more than that. I'm making you a father of many nations. So, if there's a need in your life, all right, there has to be one need or the other. That's life for you. All right? It's always a pointer to something. Something bigger than just meeting that need. Something greater than just having that need met. Amen? God is up to something. He wants you to cry for something bigger than the need. Is just a pointer to something bigger than you. Bigger than your family, bigger than your generation, bigger than your country, bigger than the whole globe, something eternal that will overflow into the ages and the ages and the ages to come. Praise God. This is very important. Amen? And God gave her Samuel. Amen? I've asked him of the Lord. All right. You know, sometimes when God answers the prayers of people, it's also a test. An answer to your prayer is also a test. It actually reveals whether or not you're about the purpose of God for your life. All right, God answers your prayer All right, why not devote the answer to God? I've asked him of the Lord, and I'm giving him back to the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. See, let that situation lead you to praying for something bigger. You need a house. All right, why not ask the Lord to give you more than a house, that you also want to house people? All right, why not ask God for an estate so you can be a blessing to people? Amen. Why not ask God for a construction company? You don't even have to be a builder or a civil engineer to own a construction company. You can own one and employ the professionals to run it for you. Praise God. So there's something bigger than your need. It's the purpose of God. Amen. Another example here before we go to the last one that we're going to consider, which is Jesus Christ. You know, it's Peter. All right. In Luke chapter, I believe chapter 5, let's start reading from verse 1. I want to show you something here. Look at this. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. All right? And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Praise God. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. All right. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the boat ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. All right, verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. All right, verse 12. Quickly. And it came to pass when he was, you know, let's just stop there, verse 11. Now, this is the point. This is the point, and I want you to get this. Peter was a frustrated fisherman, had toiled all night to catch something, all right, to catch fishes, but couldn't because it was a bad day for him, all right? But Jesus came and said, can I use your ship? I want to preach the gospel with it. And he sat on it. He says, now thrust away from the ground, the land, all right? And so that I can have some allowance and clearance to be able to project my voice to bless the people. Because the people had pressed on him to hear the word of God. Praise God. And the Bible tells us that Peter was not frustrated to the point that he would reject Jesus from using his ship. You know, there are times people are consumed in their needs and they become blind to the purpose of God for their lives. All right? This was a frustrated man, had caught nothing overnight, all right, over the night, and yet he was not frustrated to the point that, you know, he wouldn't let Jesus use his ship. Praise God. Now, is your life about needs or about God's purpose? The need is just a pointer to something. Praise God. And Jesus, when he was done using his sheep, what happened? The Bible tells us that Jesus looked at him and had mercy on him. He says, now cast your net into the deep for a draught. And he did. And his net broke. They brought the net, you know, into the ship with fishes in them. And the Bible tells us that the ships began to sink. Amen. Now, listen very carefully. After that massive supply, all right, the normal thing to do is to say, okay, thank you, Jesus. Now I can go home, all right, and enjoy this abundance. But listen very carefully. His need had just been met. But the purpose of God was revealed. All right. First, in the meeting of his need, all right, and second, in the supply of that need. Now, the need came because God's purpose must be revealed. The supply came to meet that need. But you see, the supply itself is not the purpose of God. It's also a pointer to something bigger than the supply itself. God's purpose is bigger than the need, is bigger than the supply. Amen? Now, immediately he looked at Jesus and said, depart from me, for I am a sinner. And what happened thereafter? The Bible tells us that Peter forsook all, himself and his brothers and his partners. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Now, what did they forsake? They forsook the supply. They forsook the breakthrough. Amen. Think about that. So, you see, understand how these things work. Your purpose in life is bigger than the needs you have. And when those needs are met, God's purpose is still bigger than the supplies. Amen? So don't let your need incapacitate you from doing the will of God. Don't let the blessings of God on your life incapacitate you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Because that purpose is bigger than the need and the supply put together. Say amen to that. Glory to God. Did you get that? All right. So convert that need in prayer. Begin to pray for something bigger than you. When you begin to pray that way, what happens is God will begin to open your eyes of understanding to see beyond your nose. See, your needs are always within the sight of your nose. Your needs cannot go beyond the sight of your nose. Praise God. But your purpose extends beyond your nose. If you can't see beyond your nose, all right, then you are need conscious. Praise God. Amen. And lastly, as we close, this is very powerful. Looking at the life of Jesus, I'm going to look at the life of Jesus. We're looking at the life of Jesus from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start reading from verse 5. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, speaking of Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. All right. Now, this is another a perfect example of stepping into God's destiny for your life. How do you step in? Now listen very carefully. Look up, please. This is powerful. Now let your prayers be centered around, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Whatever you desire for me, I will do. Praise God. In fact, the easiest way to step into destiny is by praying the prayer of consecration. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what would you have me do? Whatever you want me, you know, to do, that's what I'm going to do. Praise God. When you start praying that way, listen very carefully, all right, you are actually setting up yourself. You're setting yourself up for the discovery of God's purpose for you. Amen? Because you're actually making yourself humble. You're humbling yourself before God. Amen? You're humbling yourself before God. And when you humble yourself before God, he will lead you. All right? He will guide the meek in judgment. He will lead the meek. All right? God is going to lead you and guide you when you humble yourself before him. Lord, this is my life. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. When you begin to pray that way, listen very carefully, God will reveal his purpose to you. Amen? But when you You're thinking about, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it and all that. And you're always thinking about what you want to do, how you want to do it. You're putting self first. This is what I want. This is what I want. And this is what I must do. If you keep doing that, all right, you'll be doing your own things. All right? And if you're doing your own things, they would not be written in the book. Because, all right, those are the things. The things that are written in the book are the only things that can be written in the book. All right? Whatever God has already written in the book, those are the things that can be written and will be written in the book. Amen? Now, everything that is written in the Bible, all right, of people, their lives, were things that God had already written concerning them before the foundation of the world. And that's why the Bible is the book. I've come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. So, I want to say this. Listen, Jesus didn't come to do his own will. You have not come into this world to do your own will either. You have come into this world to do the will of the one who sent you. Praise God. And because you have come into this world to do the will of him that sent you, then you have to surrender to him and say, Lord, I have come to do your will. Show me your will. Humble yourself before him. Humble yourself before him. Humble. You see, it doesn't take long to know God's will when your frame of mind is attuned to God. Humble yourself before God. All right? In praying and asking him to know his will, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God, and he will lead you. He will guide you. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Have you been blessed today? Come on, come on. Have you been blessed today? All right. Come on now. Have you been blessed today?
Yes, sir.
And I want us to pray right now. I want us to pray. And this prayer is very important. Glory to God. I want us to pray. And as we pray today, let your heart be open to God. Amen. Let your heart be open to God. I want us to pray and say, Father, I have heard your word. My heart is open. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I humble myself before you. I humble myself before you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I humble myself. Reveal your plan to me. Reveal your purpose to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, go ahead and pray. Lanomose fretegaste broshta karada bahaya. Manto crestombro digledo combridica sobre kida grasto sud. Bradina gastango zuzovre tekle bojo prek de gida bahaya. Brante casambro noctoga ziza. Broshta kido grusa frenekta kido grosso pradia. I humble myself before you. In the name of Jesus, reveal your plan to me. Reveal your plan to me. Reveal your purpose to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I humble myself before you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I have come to do your will. I'm not here to do my will. I've come to do your will. Now, Lord, I humble myself to do your will. Whatever you have in plan for me, in stock for me, in the name of Jesus, I am open to it. I am open to fulfill your will, to do your will, in the name of Jesus. Come on, go ahead and pray. Mano ho sofre tegri debo zuzai. Ratocombre simbro nocto koja bradina. Zanda crosubre kita casambre diagoro. Marasta sabronte carano godogle digredia. Maradino zuprenic tequizu zubrate cosubre dia. Zante cosupre kito kushabre beregrigedusha. Ratacaso do brusha rabande crisada brahaya. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The Bible tells us, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, you're going to humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I humble myself. Now, I surrender my will to you. Guide me. I want to do your will. Now I understand that life is about your will, not about what I want But what about what you have designed for me, what you have purposed for me, what you have predetermined for my life? That's what life is all about. So I want you to pray. Take a posture that is convenient for you. If you're going, you know, lying prostrate on your face before the Lord, go ahead and do that. If you're going on your knees, go ahead and kneel down and pray. All right. Whatever posture you're sitting down, you're standing, all right, go ahead and stand and pray. I want us to pray right now, particularly, you know, in tongues. Pray with a strong desire. All right, Lord, I humble myself before you. And as you pray in tongues, trust the Holy Spirit to bring you to that frame of mind by the energy of the Spirit, you know, where you have that, you take that right posture to receiving from God. Go ahead and pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Masubretina nagoru shadabaha. Lekando go supre gitana mambro palika shubradia. Bako songkrisa bakro togide garuto kono blekisha. Radamaze konde kresika radaba kita la manaha. Lord, I humble myself before you. Lekotosi pratakata. I recognize your will as the ultimate. Ratoko pakle kisha brataka. I recognize your purpose as the ultimate. Rekato kuso prekidegro shubre badakaya. I humble myself to receive your word. Rasupa kata kasha. Your word of destiny. Rusupa kata. Your word of purpose. Nakide brusha karia da bahaya. My heart is open. Nagora satina mandigro shuta. Lord, as a household, we humble ourselves before you. Lekrusha manande kosuta krigoru. Your will is ultimate. La combre kito sopre kida grabahaya. We pray na koza dagria that your will will come to us. Na koshata, your word will come to us. Likopre gida kasha, like it came to Jeremiah. Rasondo pakito kosukre gida groshala maha. Rekoto sopto bro gida grusha karada bahaya. Li kanando, like it came to Joseph. La garuna te sabarune kia konzo brekite klakrosha, like it was revealed garuno to kidaba to Isaiah the prophet. Na kila gando grusho prekite kasa, like it came to David. Karudo gopake nengre supre gede grishata. Lord, our hearts are open. Speak to us, O God. Le grishata kambre gede grosha. Every man in this household, le kashada. Every woman, nakoto si kata le grushotea. Rata kashata kate mongro kosha. Rekatosha receives revelation, 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 revelation. We receive revelation, Father. We humble ourselves. We receive revelation. Your will, your plan, your purpose. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rabakatonde lebrukosha kadigro shombre bedebrebedushaka. Zeninta koshotila brapa. We pray the prayer of consecration. Likondo krosha. We will do whatever you call us to do. We will do whatever you send us to do. We will do whatever you put in our heart to do in the name of Jesus. Your will is paramount to us. Your will takes first place in our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus. We put you first. We put your word first. We put your plan first in the name of Jesus Christ. Kabruta kile grushama radiaka rotoko bresiko runomonto kabahaya. Sanda broko shigre dako subre bedegregede ushata. Ranana ko supre kide krosha. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for you. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God is upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which God predetermined before the foundation of the world is fulfilled in your life. That which God has cut out for you is fulfilled in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was said, and like it was said of Jesus Christ, that it was written of him, you know, that that which was written concerning him, that the will of God be fulfilled. All right? It was written concerning him that the will of God be fulfilled. That very thing that was said concerning him He said concerning you that the will of God is fulfilled concerning you in Jesus' name. As it was said and spoken of him, that the will of God was fulfilled concerning him. He came to do the will of the Father. That very thing that the Father cut out for you from the foundation of the world, in the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the world were laid, that very thing is fulfilled in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is well with you and it is well with yours. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. All right, now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord himself be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. It is well with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.